This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
301 of the big city, the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. I think GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. He's one of our favorites. Love talking to Tim Kirchen. And he joins us here on the K Show. It's Don and Peter, sir. How are you?
I'm well, fellas. How you doing?
You're going to be able to fight through this without Michael? You're okay with just me and Peter?
Yeah, Michael's been a friend of mine for 40 years, but it's okay.
We've had enough.
He's got other jobs, and we all do, so it's okay.
It's all right. He's got a big one coming up, and no Aaron Judge in that game. Let's start there, Tim. I mean, how disconcerting is this for Major League Baseball? I mean, this is one of the stars of this sport. And right now, outside of his rookie season, when he hit the league by storm, this has just been a constant, what's wrong with him? Is he injured? He can't play. I mean, how much of a problem is this?
Well, it's an issue. He hasn't played more than 112 games since, 2017. He's missed a lot of games. And it's remarkable because he's so big and so strong, you would think he's indestructible. But this is a game that's not built for really big guys, especially really big guy everyday players. And he's the biggest player basically of all time. And I've done the list of all the guys 6'6 and taller everyday players, and it's a pretty short list of really good players who were that big. And it's so easy to get hurt in this game, especially for a big guy, that I think it's something to be worried about. And this early on in the season, especially when he's swinging the bat so well. But I'm going to take the high road here still and say he's got soreness in his side. Everyone gets a day off here these days, even when they're healthy. And clearly he's hurt, but let's see how badly he's hurt. Let's see when they can get him back in the lineup. He's not just sitting around doing nothing. He's taking BP, and I think that's a fairly good sign.
Now, Tim, obviously here in New York, people freak out about this subject, and it's always the biggest deal whenever he's not in the lineup. As contract time approaches for Judge, how much pause do you think other teams would have? How much is this common thought throughout the league that his injuries are a real point of concern?
Well, again, I think we have to see how this year goes. If he plays in 70 games this year and we play 162, and then you look at the track record, that's not going to be a particularly appealing part. I mean, in the end, durability is the most underrated part of a player's career. Are you going out there or not? And I've always kind of chuckled a little bit at people who don't think it's a big deal that someone goes out and plays 160 games. That's really hard to do these days. So, yes, I think it will affect contract talk if he has another year where he's hurt all the time. But let's see how it goes before we figure this out.
Now, the other story is what happened with Conforto yesterday. And it's unbelievable how much this thing blew up. And, there's actually a report, Michael had spoken to a rules guy, that if there was still the ability to protest a game, that the Marlins would have had an issue because it was actually a called third strike, and getting hit in the strike zone would have allowed the Marlins to get the out and stay alive in that game. Will we see possible rule changes? Was that a big enough deal, Tim, where Major League Baseball will look at it again?
Yeah, I think it should. If nothing else, we should adjust the replay system, which, as we all know, is far from perfect, that play has to be reviewable. It just doesn't seem right that we check review to see if a guy's foot comes off the bag for a tenth of a second as he's sliding into second. But something as obvious as a player getting hit with a strike and then having the game end that way and it's not reviewable, that's what I would look into if I were Major League Baseball. The rule is clear. If you're in the strike zone and you get hit by a pitch, then it's a strike. It's not a hit by pitch. And the umpire acknowledged Ron Culpa that he made a mistake after the game. But if we're so intent on getting everything right via replay, then we should have had the ability to check that right away. I was watching that game live, and it was obvious what had happened. But I knew the replay rule, this is not reviewable, and therefore they stayed with the call, which clearly was the wrong call.
So it's interesting, Tim, because it was such a bad call, and it was a pretty clear miss by Culpa, and we know that. And while it's kind of a disaster, it also was kind of cool because it started trending worldwide, and all of a sudden you had a daytime regular season Mets-Marlins game that everyone was talking about on my timeline. And Don made the point that if they were to decide, hey, let's replay this half inning, it would turn into a big deal. Is there any upside to a moment like that yesterday in the sense that while it is sort of silly and embarrassing, getting people talking about baseball early in a season is kind of a good thing?
Well, it's a good thing that we're talking about baseball. That's always a good thing. But it's good that the people who are running the game will recognize that this just doesn't look right. So this is how it happens on a day game, home opener, Mets, high-profile team loses a game where the game should have been continued. That was obvious to everyone. That maybe the good thing is they'll do a rule change on this with replay or whatever you want to do. So I think that's the only way a positive comes out of this. Otherwise, it just doesn't look good for baseball. That's something that was clear to everyone watching it.
Right.
And there was no way to figure that out.
Well, Tim, this was talked about after the Galarraga near-perfect game. It was the last play of the game. And I remember saying it then, and I'll say it again now. The commissioner has the ability to do things which are in the best interest of baseball. Why couldn't he, on the last play where everyone agrees, where the umpire goes on record and apologizes and said, I screwed this up, where a rule was misinterpreted, what would be so wrong with Manfred saying, you know what, report to Citi Field at 11:30, we're going to load the bases back up, two outs, let's finish that game. What would be so wrong with that?
Well, I see your point, and it's difficult to argue with your logic, but if we started that precedent, then the commissioner is involved in every single play. At some point, we have to trust the umpires. At some point, and they're really, really good at what they do. I'll argue that with anyone, way better than people think. But if we're starting, the commissioner is going to start questioning things like that when the umpires clearly huddled on the field. They met. It wasn't like everybody just ran off the field and there was no manager argument, no discussion among the umpires. That would be one thing, but they all got together and they all decided this was the thing to do. I think when you get the commissioner involved in an on-field play like that, not the precedent to set.
But see, but you still, sometimes you do things because it's what's right for baseball. Like, replay was unprecedented. You know, if you went by that logic, it's, listen, we can't go back in time and reverse everything, but we've got the technology. Let's take advantage of it. You can make it, Tim, where only on the last play of the game. Like, that's the problem with replay, right? Replay was supposed to get rid of the Don Dinkinger call in 85. It was supposed to get rid of the Galarraga call a few years ago. Not to sit there for 15 minutes trying to decide, did he come off the bag or not after he slid? I think if you – because how often, Tim, you watch baseball every day. How often is it that egregious where an umpire actually apologizes after the game? If you only held it for those rare moments, it wouldn't really be the commissioner having to get involved in every single play.
Well, look, again, I see your point. I'm not going to argue with you about this because I see what you're saying, but it really wasn't the last play of the game because if it calls a strike there, the Mets can win the game on the next at-bat, or they win an extra inning. So it's not just clear the Marlins would have won this game if that call hadn't been made or had been made correctly. So I just don't think the commissioner can get involved in individual plays, I guess, unless the only thing he can do is now say, from now on, that has to be a reviewable play. By the best, in the best interest of baseball, I am now saying if that play ever happens again, we are going to have that reviewable. That's about the only thing you can do now.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, Aaron Judge is not the only young star in baseball dealing with an injury issue. How concerned should we all be about Fernando Tatis Jr.?
Well, it's a little disconcerting. He's been hurt twice, and that shoulder separation he had in spring training, they popped it back in. And it's great news that he doesn't need surgery, but he's a really important player on that team and almost as important to the game, given the money he now makes and the energy and the effort and everything and the talent that he brings. This is not good for baseball that one of the best young players in the game, one of the most high-profile players, is hurt again. But, you know, I repeat, this is the ultimate skill sport, and you can't play this game if you're hurt. I mean, I love football. I don't know anything about football, but if you can break a hand and tie it up and tape it up and play it in an NFL game, but if you break a finger in the big leagues and you're a pitcher or a hitter, you can't play this sport if you're hurt, period. So we just have to accept the fact that the injured list fills up every single day. Just look at the guys who've been hurt in the last few weeks. This is a game, given how long the season is and how difficult the game is to play, it's just so easy to get injured playing this sport. And that's just part of the landscape of baseball.
Talking to Tim Kirchen here on the Michael Kay Show, only about a week in, what's been your biggest surprises so far?
Well, I've been watching the ball. There haven't been any massive surprises other than, say, the Oakland A's being this bad. Yeah. I thought they would be good. I didn't think they'd be this far behind the Astros, who I didn't think would be this good already. I mean, some bad teams or some teams that aren't very good, like the Orioles, have played pretty well so far. I mean, those are all surprises, but that's the way the game works. I'm watching the ball just to see, is it jumping or isn't it? Half the people I talk to see a difference. The other half thinks the ball is clearly deadened. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to make of this. I just know I see 450-foot homers all the time, and yet other times I see a ball hit where I say that ball was out last year. So those are just some of the things we need to keep our eye on. But the number one thing is we're only 8 days in. We got to be careful not to overreact to what we see so far.
Oh, but overreaction is fun. You know, we just came off the NCAA tournament. We just came off football playoffs where you're one and done, right? So we want to live and die with this. We want to panic, even though it's not.
Brian Snitker of the Braves told us, we did their game the other night, and he said, I hate the first week of the season. I really do. Because everything is so magnified that if you lose three games in a row, it's like sky's falling. But if you lose those three games in a row in the middle of June, no one even notices. He's absolutely right. So I have tried my hardest, and I'm pretty good at it, not to overreact after the first 8 days of the season.
No, that's because you're even keeled, and that's why you're so good at what you do. Tim, enjoy it, man. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, guys. See you.
All right, always good to talk to Tim. I have to disagree, Peter, with this whole, well, we can't get the commissioner involved. Listen, how often does something like yesterday happen? Really? That's the problem with replay, right? We took replay, and now we're breaking everything down into a fine powder. Nobody's saying to do that. Nobody's saying that the commissioner is now going to be at the bat phone after every game, ready to overturn what just happened. But when you have something that goes that viral, gets that kind of a reaction, where the umpire apologizes after the game, admits that he screwed up, Peter, that happens like once a decade. And if it does happen, then why can't the commissioner do something about it?
Well, that's where I'm completely in lockstep with you, Don. I don't think it does create, I've said this a few times, I don't think it creates some standard of like, oh, well, now I always have to get involved. How often is a major league umpire going to stand up after a game and go, I was wrong? Don, how many times throughout the course of a season is that going to happen? And not randomly on a small play. We're talking about a game-deciding play. This was a walk-off.
No, we're not talking about a bang-bang play that you got to look at 17 different replays. And, of course, fans are going to think, oh, we've got to go to the commissioner with that. That's ridiculous. But logic tells you, I can maybe count on one hand, if that, of an umpire just admitting after the game, I screwed up. It's like those letters that the commissioner sends to teams in the NFL, right? We got that wrong. We could take it back. We can't. And granted, it wasn't technically the last play of the game because if you did take it away, the game would have continued. But it still was late enough where the game ended on that play being wrong, where you totally could have went back and said, all right, we're going to start, come to Citi Field at 11:30 tomorrow. First pitch is at 1:10 for the regularly scheduled game. Let's do 11:30, come to the ballpark. We're going to load the bases, two outs, Conforto's out, and we'll continue the game. I mean, it's not the last game of a series. It's not like the Marlins after the game flew to California. They're still in New York. Peter, this is such an easy fix. You don't have to break a sweat. It's like it's almost a no-brainer to do it.
I agree with you 1,000%. I know it's an unusual moment, obviously, and it's game six of the season. I understand that, but it was done. It was such a high-profile spot. And you could see how big a thing it was right away. It's just an unfortunate situation. I agree with you. It'd be cool for baseball to say, you know what, we're going to get this right. And it's not going to be every time there's a mistake, but when there's something egregious and game-deciding that rises to this level, I'm going to step in.
Anthony Palmateo, he wins the $500 from Berlin, Connecticut. So you too can win $500 if you tune in on Monday in the 2 o'clock hour. Every day we are giving away $500 through the month of April, $10,000 in total. So congratulations to Anthony on that. 1-800-919-3776 is the number to call. I just hate when we do, well, you can't do that because it opens up a Pandora's box. Stop. Open it up. I don't think anybody would disagree with it. And it doesn't happen all the time. It's so frustrating. They have replay, right, Peter? You never said, well, we can't put replay in because we didn't have replay the year before. And if we had replay the year before, then that team wouldn't have won the championship. No, they didn't have replay then. Now we've got replay. The commissioner didn't get involved then. Guess what? The commissioner gets involved now. It's a clause in the contract. What's in the best interest for baseball? And the best interest is that game gets continued to be played. And tell me there wouldn't be a rating. Tell me that people wouldn't be interested tomorrow to find out what would happen. Because, boy, were people interested in what happened yesterday. Why wouldn't they be interested in see how it finished up? I remember the Pine Tar game. We're still talking about the Pine Tar game, Peter. It was 1983, a random Yankee Royal game in August. And we're still talking about it from 1983 because it was so rare, so unusual. They came back and played, you know, a few weeks later. It was a big deal. And this was before social media. This was before cable TV for a lot of people. And it got such a reaction. God, it just seems so easy. Let's go to Alan in the car, shall we? You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Alan?
Hi. How are you today, guys?
Good.
Good. I have to disagree with getting the commissioner involved with this. I think mistakes are made on almost a daily basis, and I think the idea of redoing an inning is, it's not a video game. That's what makes live sports exciting to watch, and if you're a Mets fan, which I'm not, I'm a Yankees fan, they were thrilled with the win. I just think it's overblown. The umpire agreed that he made an error. We all make errors. And go on, and that's the end of it.
This is not an error of misjudgment. It's not a ball rolling between Buckner's legs. It is a misinterpretation of the rules. It's a colossal screw-up. And he had to apologize afterwards. So I understand people make mistakes. All right, the pitch off the corner, the ball fair or foul. Yeah, we kind of live with there being human error, but when an egregious mistake is made like that, and I disagree. Oh, that's why we love sports. No, that's what's aggravating about sports. Is that you don't do it, Peter, because you just – then let's not have replay then.
That's what I was going to say. It's already there. You're not asking them to invent replay. The replay exists. So if they're not going to get it right, and it's egregious like this, something has to be done.
All right.
And by the way, we're New Yorker. We're in New York. It was the Mets who benefited from this, right? This is just an objective thing that was terrible.
Peter, I'm a Met fan, and the Mets benefited from it, but it was a mistake, and it's easily corrected. So I just hate that old school thinking of, well, it's a human game, and that's what's so great about mistake. Well, you know, mistakes are the ball going between my legs, me swinging and missing, me falling down, you know, like Daniel Jones did going for the end zone. That's human error. Those are mistakes. But when a rule is misinterpreted, when something that egregious happens, that's just not a mistake. That's just not human error. I actually, you know what? I would have no problem if he's fined for the mistake. That's how egregious it was. You don't know the rule? You're the umpire. You're supposed to know all the rules. There shouldn't be any misunderstanding about rules.
It's a fair point.
Do your job. And yeah, mistakes are going to be made. Yeah, I should have called that a strike. I missaw it. Or I should have called him out. Those are mistakes. But when you don't know the rule or you misinterpret the rule, and then all the umpires get together and discuss it, and none of them actually said, it's a rule. You called it a strike. He's out. That's disconcerting. That's a problem. And so easily corrected. As Michael says, sorry doesn't fix the lamp. A lot of people still want to get on board with this. 1-800-919-3776. Also want to get into some football, too. You know, the draft's coming up, and there's been so much talk about the Jets, and rightly so. They got the second overall pick, but we kind of know what they're going to do, Peter. Not kind of know. We know what they're going to do. What the heck are the Giants doing at 11? What should they do at 11? All discussed on the Michael K. Show, 630 on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.